Hey, this is James from SorrelPunk.com.
And at his side, as usual, this is Couch Potato Mike. How are you doing this fine day, sir?
Great. Yourself?
I'm doing pretty good, but not as good as you are.
Yes.
To the folks out there, I'd just like to announce that today is our host's birthday.
Oh, yeah, it is. I mean, not for you guys. You guys will be in the future, but for us, for me, it's currently my birthday.
Yep,
it is. And Couch Potato Mike Booyah here threw me an impromptu surprise party.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did, and it's not quite over yet. Children, come here. Right now, come here. Right now, come here. Come here! Come here. Got a little birthday surprise for you.
Oh, yeah.
And for our listeners out there. And a one. And a two. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Survival Punk. Happy birthday to you.
Cha cha cha.
Yay.
Thanks, kids. All right,
thanks.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, that was my whole family singing happy birthday to him. Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye now. Yeah, just thought I'd throw that in there.
There you go.
Yeah.
Fun times.
You're my boy.
Yeah, so yeah. How was your holidays, man?
Oh, God. They were great and not nearly long enough. I ended up with two four-day weekends back-to-back.
Which is nice.
Yeah, I was grateful. They each felt like they only lasted about 30 minutes.
I'm actually back in the job market. House building costs a shit ton of money. More than I estimated. I mean, still, not too bad. Still, you know, a reasonable price. Not near like $100,000 that people pay for houses nowadays.
No, God, no.
But, you know. I need a little bit of spare change to buy some things, you know. So
this would be a great time to sign up for your Survival Punk Army membership.
It would, and we'll talk about that later. That'd really help out.
Oh, absolutely. Now, coming up on the show today, we've got what to expect when you're expecting. No, I'm just joking. What to expect from 2015. We're going to be talking about the big move. You finally got moved into the tiny house.
That was a pain in the ass, and I've got some lessons and whatnot to share with people.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to be I'm actually going to be taking the reins on our Gadget Punk segment this time. I'm going to be talking about my new gadget. I'm going to be talking about the health benefits of ginger, as well as having our permaculture minute and our wild edible of the week. So let's just jump right into it and let the good people over at JM Bullion know that we still love them.
Yeah, JM Bullion, still the best place to get your gold and silver on the internet with the best pricing, better than everyone else on the internet, and free shipping. JMBullion.com, go stock up on your silver, which I recommend you should have as a monetary hedge, an inflationary hedge against, you know, inflation. We've talked about in the past the difference between what a silver quarter would buy you in 1964 and what it'll buy you today.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, I know the price of silver had been dropping. What's it looking like these days?
You know, I have not looked in a while. I haven't heard anything going up, but we can have a real live view and let people know.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so for all of those out there wanting to make a very smart investment of silver, gold, platinum, other precious metals, head on over to survivalpunk.com and find that banner on the right-hand side that says JM Bullion. Click there and start preparing very wisely for the future. Now, we're having
They had spot price on here somewhere.
Is that a spot?
There it is. $16.
Yeah, $16.09. Is that an ounce?
Up. Yeah, troy ounce. Up 24 cents from its previous. So, 24 cents.
Yeah, so buy now before that price starts going back up.
Gold is gold's at 8 or 11.
Low. 11.9285.
Yeah, it's really coming down. I was kind of planning on getting an ounce if it drops below a grand. I may still do that actually.
Oh, well. All right. So, JMBullion.com. Now, while you're over there on that banner on the right-hand side of survivalpunk.com, you might also want to click on the little spot unknown that's marked campingsurvival.com.
Yeah, which is a site that me and Mike were just talking about. Mike had has what, bronchitis?
I'm getting over bronchitis. Yeah, I've had a pretty rough about 10 days now ever since I woke up Christmas morning feeling like crap.
Yeah, I've been fighting that.
And all I could think the whole time is, God, I wish I was a fish. I could get my antibiotics without a prescription.
Well, you could get your antibiotics from campingsurvival.com without a prescription, because, of course, they are for your fish, obviously, and you should not take them yourself. Wink, wink, nod, nod. And I believe it is free shipping on those antibiotics for your fish, obviously, not for yourself.
Even though they're the same antibiotics.
Even though they're the same, made in the same manufacturing, same pills, same everything.
Yeah, and not just fish antibiotics. They have all sorts of stuff over there.
Yeah, everything you need for bugging out and bugging in, check out campingsurvival.com. Click the banner in the right-hand margin.
All right, so let's just jump right into our first, and actually only news story this week.
I had trouble finding a second news story. So if you see news stories you'd like me to read, send them in, and I'll cover them on the news.
Well, first, before we do this, I'd just like to wish all of our listeners out there a Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We made it through 2014, and it's now 2015, Marty.
Yeah, and... I think next month is the 1 year anniversary of the Survival Punk podcast.
1 year. Wow.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it's been that long.
I think we're right around episode 50.
Ooh.
What a milestone.
That is pretty awesome.
I may give away something for episode 50.
That is.
Maybe a 1 year membership to Survival Punk Army or something.
You're hearing that right now on the show, folks. You can get a 1 year free membership to Survival Punk, the Survival Punk Army.
Maybe in the future.
Maybe in the future.
So this news story comes from Survivopedia. What to expect from 2015? I want to read some of their predictions and see what I differ and what they see. So first one is Ferguson, Missouri.
Ferguson, Missouri.
We haven't heard the end of Ferguson, Missouri, and the protests going on there. It seems that there are those that are dead set and fanning the flames of the racial division. Unless something happens to bring about racial healing, we're going to see an increase in violence.
What you talk about, Willis?
Yeah. We're going to see an increase in hatred. We are very likely to see a racial civil war break out in the country, which is something I talked about on a blog post, actually, as impoverished blacks take out their anger on whites and whites react. Sadly, it is the innocent who will often be the target.
Yeah, you know, I've been hearing about the supposed, you know, racial civil war happening since, like, the 80s.
Yeah.
I
think it spurs up here and there, but it seems like they're really pushing hard for it right now. And you know, with a lot of the leaders, even our president is kind of being a jackass about this whole thing and you know, saying the police are wrong and blah, blah, you know, and he's fanning the flames himself.
Can't we all just get along?
Wish we could.
Next, ISIS and other terrorist organizations. Terrorism is clearly on the rise in the Middle East and around the world. Islamic extremists are becoming bolder in their campaign against everyone else. This is seen no more clearly than with ISIS. They will continue to grow and take over more land unless American troops are committed to battle. However, our president has made it clear that he has no intention of attacking any Muslim organizations, regardless of what they do. If anything, he is more likely to attack those who oppose the terrorists. I am surprised we haven't seen any terrorist attacks in the United States in the last few years. The FBI is claiming credit for this, but I don't think it's credit that they deserve. Rather, I think it's the terrorists who... I think that the terrorists are building networks in the United States so that when they do attack, they'll have enough people and equipment to make it worthwhile. I'm afraid that could very well come the next year.
Possibly. It seems like we are behind the ball on a terrorist attack, unfortunately. And I do not believe it's our government's ability to stop them. I agree with the article on that. I don't think it's because we're so good they're not attacking.
No, not at all.
Vladimir Putin. From the end of World War II to the fall of the Berlin Wall, the United States kept the Soviet Union's desire to conquer the world in check. When the wall fell, and with it Soviet system of government, that need ended, at least for a while. But Russia's imperialistic ambitions never ended. It was just their ability to do anything about them that was put on hold for a few years. Now, thanks to the policies of Barack Obama, the United States has been weakened. Even more importantly, we have been perceived to be weakened by our enemies around the world. While our military is still stronger than theirs, our political will is not. Vladimir Putin has seen this weakness and stepped up to fill the void. His actions in Ukraine are nothing more than that. He's laughed off the weak reprisals and that Obama has levied against him and his country. They have not hurt him, and if anything, they have shown him that he can continue gobbling up European countries without any care for retaliation against from the United States. I don't necessarily think that we need to be in their business. I think we need to stay here and take care of ourselves instead of worrying about everyone else and policing the world and getting everyone else's damn business.
But it does make a valid point. I mean, we used to be the number one country in the world, the one that everybody respected, the one that everybody feared. Now we've become a laughing stock over the last decade, I would say. Honestly, I mean, yeah. Our foreign policies and our foreign approval and everything is at all-time lows.
Yeah.
And, yeah, this entire presidential administration has done nothing to help that. If anything, they've just really shown how low that we could possibly freaking fall. Yeah. I mean, it's been 16 years of hell.
Unfortunately, probably longer than that. I'm positive that our next president will be a Republican and a warmonger.
You hearing that, Todd?
Yeah. Because they're both puppets. I mean, what they're doing is they're playing this game. They put a weak Democrat out there to infuriate all of the Republicans and everyone to get on their side. So that when the next presidential election comes, people will be begging for a hard-nosed military person.
Honestly,
who's then going to take rights and fuck people over?
Yeah. If you want my honest opinion, and I think this is a giant conspiracy, I really don't think there are two political
parties.
There's
not, yeah.
No, I think it's just one gigantic machine that's completely tearing apart the world.
I wish the next president was a hermit pothead that wouldn't leave the White House and stayed stoned all the time.
Tommy Chong for president.
Yeah, just stay in there. Don't make any policies. Don't let any policies be passed. And then pull in all of our armies off of everywhere around the world and just have them stand hand-to-hand guarding the border.
They just need to release the pot bomb, if you ask me. Just put a gigantic haze of pot smoke all around the world. That will be world peace.
That way no one's fighting, they're just eating Doritos?
Yep, until the Doritos run out, then oh shit.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, Ebola. The Ebola outbreak in Africa is spreading and will continue to spread exponentially.
Exponentially, huh?
There is a very good chance that countries of Sierra Leone, Liberia, and
Guinea
will be totally lost to this disease. Then it will continue to spread outside of those countries, even with the drastic measures that some countries are taking to prevent it. The big questions for us is whether or not it reaches the United States. I believe that has more to do with whether or not it becomes weaponized by any of the terrorist groups. Such an attack would wreak havoc on the society and our economy.
And I mean, what we've talked about before about the Ebola hype, it doesn't really lend itself well to being weaponized. It doesn't lend itself well to being an outbreak here in the United States where we have good medical systems and whatnot and take care of things. So it's not really... I'm not really worried about Ebola, to be honest. Next, the economy. The economy will not see any marked improvement as long as Obama is in the White House. He will block every effort. Obviously, the guy writes this is a Republican. He will block every effort by the glorious Republicans to stimulate business growth, calling them unfair. The continuing class warfare of the liberals and their lapdog media will keep enough of the population angry at big business and the wealthy people who own those businesses, and that economy will never be possible. There's a very good possibility that we will slide over the cliff into financial collapse. Quantitative easing, which was propping up Wall Street, has ended. While we haven't seen the crash in stock market values, everyone is still holding their breath. Economies can't improve until people are confident enough to spend their money rather than hold on to it. This won't happen as long as Obama is in the Oval Office, continuing his policies and hampering the business growth. See, this is my big issue with the two-party system. And no one really sees it as, it's really a fascist system. And forget the other word that they used. So the Republicans, they're blaming on the government being big and bad and whatnot, and the liberals are blaming on the corporations being big and bad, when really it's the corporations fucking the government in the asshole and then working together to fuck us all over.
Yep.
It's not the corporations are evil. It's not the government is evil. It's that they're evil together. They're an evil conglomeration of evilness.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. I mean, the government is taking money from the corporations to do what the government to do what the corporations want.
Mm-hmm. Now, that one line there that says the economy can't improve until people are confident enough to spend their money rather than hold on to it, that ties in with a theory that I've always subscribed to, that everything in this world, including money, doesn't operate on reality, but everybody's perception of reality.
Yeah.
I mean, theoretically, you can make a bank fail by just spreading rumors that a bank might be financially shaky. What happens? People think a bank is financially shaky. Therefore, they would take their money out of that bank. Pretty soon, that bank is financially shaky.
Yeah. Yeah. Money. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just perception of reality.
Yep.
Let's see. Next, martial law. Obama bin Laden, they might as well be calling him in this. Obama has put everything into place so that he can declare martial law at a moment's notice. All of the government's agencies have been militarized. The DHS has its own army, and our military leadership has been weakened. All he needs is a good enough excuse to declare martial law, and I believe he will. We will all know that Obama is a narcissist. We all know that Obama's a narcissist. He is convinced that he belongs in the Oval Office and that his actions are right. It's the typical liberal progression superiority attitude taken to extremes. I can't see him giving up power easily or willingly. He would declare martial law and suspend the Constitution before he would let that happen. While there is a constant ongoing risk of Obama declaring martial law, I really don't think it will happen in 2015 unless he is offered an excellent opportunity to do so. Since everything for him is politics, it is much more likely that he will do it in the conjunction with the 2016 elections, either before to prevent the election or afterwards if he doesn't like the results.
I do not think Obama will ever declare martial law at all. He will be out of office and a wrinkled up dirtbag.
Yeah, that just seems like some good old-fashioned conservative paranoia.
Yeah, I actually publicly state that I have a $50 bet that will not happen. If you're the first person to email me after President Obama declares martial law, I will PayPal you $50.
And think about it. He's out of a job right now. He needs that money.
Yeah.
All right, and that has been What to Expect from 2015 if you're a Republican.
Yeah.
All right, now coming up is our main topic. Something a little bit closer to home. Especially if your home is way far away and used to be near. Moving.
Yeah. I finally completed the move to the tiny house. The tiny house is not quite finished, but it was close enough to live in, basically. And I needed to wrap things up and get moving. So I got moved. Moving turned out to be a huge pain in the ass.
Really?
Before I even get into the tiny house and all that stuff and plans, as you know, I borrowed my stepdad's truck one day.
You borrowed your
wife's car. You did. You drove.
Yep. Borrowed her truck,
which we used to move all of the big furniture and the deep freezer, my refrigerator, all that stuff.
It took two trips, which a lot of people would think, well, that's not much. Until they realized that each one of those trips was an hour and a half in one direction.
Yeah, damn near 2 hours. So an hour and 40 minutes or something.
Yeah.
It was to what, 4 in the afternoon or something we were done? 5?
Yeah, and we started like 8 in the morning.
We started like 8 in the morning. The moving god smote us that day.
It was raining.
It was raining and drizzling the whole day, which sort of limited me. Like, I had planned on loading up more boxes and more things, which I couldn't do in the rain.
Yeah.
I was able, Mike's Mike's wife's truck has a trailer on it. So they removed some of the big furniture that way. And then,
yeah, it has the camper top.
Yeah. My stepdad's truck, I was able to move a lot of the deep freezer didn't matter if it got rained on. The refrigerator didn't really matter if it got rained on. The prep table that is made of metal. The other metal things, it didn't matter if they got rained on. And then some boxes in the back cabin of the truck. Just not enough. And it took probably, I think, 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 more trips in my car.
Oh, God.
Yeah, one day I pretty much got up and started moving and then got done at like 11 o'clock in the evening.
Wow.
There were still some things left in the apartment that I was just like, I just don't care anymore. I'm not going to make another trip. Fuck it. And I just left them there.
Yep.
I mean, most of it, like, maybe I would have kept the mattress to my futon, which is not the best, but I mean, it would have been something really.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, as soon as I do get a real mattress up in the loft, I'm just going to get rid of this anyway.
Right.
So screw it. I'm not going to bother moving it. The brew supplies equipment in the closet that I was going to give to Gabriel, I just couldn't. I would have had to make another trip to get that and a couple more things I was going to give away. And I wasn't going to make an additional trip to get things to give away.
No, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, so I left some stuff there I just didn't have room for and just didn't care about. You know, I mean, the last trip I got was just a couple little piddly things, a couple little things here and there. And then some stuff I was giving to your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I had to make that trip for a couple of other things anyway. And that was packed, loaded, so.
Yeah, no, she appreciates the sewing machine.
You're like, F that sewing machine. We don't need that. Like, my wife's got a sewing machine. She don't need another sewing machine. I was like, I told you, I was like, I bet you money she wants that. No, she don't. I'll call right now. And you're like, no, she doesn't fucking want that. She doesn't want the damn sewing machine. I messaged her the next day. Hey, you want a sewing machine? Of course I do. I told you, Mike. I told you.
She's a traitor.
Yeah. And all the fabric and shit I gave her. All that little plastic tote thing had a bunch of like needles, spare needles, equipment, some steampunk goggles that I made and didn't finish. Little bits of fabric and shit, you know, whatever.
She'd be commenting on it more now, but right now she's running from a bunch of skull mask wearing monkeys.
Oh, yeah.
Damn you, Temple Run, give me my wife back.
Yeah. Moving would have been a lot easier without all the survival and prepping stuff. Did you see? You saw the pantry box that I cleared out of the closet, the one that weighed 200 pounds?
Yeah, I know that box.
Yes, you do.
That box gave me a hernia.
Yeah, I carried it from in the apartment out to the truck.
I know, because you said you're gonna need some help with that box, and I'm like, no, I'm not.
You grab the light one, run off, and leave me with a 200-pound pantry box.
Well, that's what you get for sticking all the canned goods in one box.
Well, the canned goods were not in one box. Heavy boxes were heavy as shit.
Oh,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a couple of them that are pretty heavy.
Yeah, I kept grabbing the ones full of politicians' promises.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'll be able to pack up easy as nothing. And then pantry took up probably 4 boxes.
Good God, man.
Canned goods in 4 boxes. So, yeah, I'm going to be the bucket that I had that had 75 pounds of salt in it.
Oh.
You remember that one?
Yes.
The 50 pounds of rice.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the survival gear and stuff I managed to just throw into a bug out bag, an old one, and bring that.
I could not figure out for the life of me, why does this guy have so much survival gear?
Yeah, go figure. So yeah, just moving as a prepper sucks, and I don't want to do it again, maybe ever. Unless my house burns down, I just pick that motherfucker up and move it. I don't want to move again. Little lesson I learned. It would have actually... I thought we were saving money by like bringing trucks and borrowing trucks and stuff. It would have came out to be so much cheaper to just get a U-Haul, load it to the brim.
Yeah.
For one trip.
One trip. Gas for the one trip on that.
Gas for the one trip.
Got it all... Yeah. It would have had it all done in like a couple... In like 4 hours tops, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, because we would have had to make just really one trip out there. Or we'd have to get the U-Haul, take it to my apartment, load it up, which would have took, you know, probably an hour or two.
Or I have, you know, Or you could have just built your fucking tiny house on wheels and hauled it out to the apartment and
moved
right there.
That would have been optimal, yeah.
Oh, God.
But yeah, the
rain.
I wonder
if anybody's ever fucking taken an old U-Haul or whatever and turned it into a tiny house.
Well, probably. I've seen people do that with campers and vans and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I
mean, heck, my in-laws are currently living in a camper.
Yeah.
They're living comfortably in that thing, too. They ain't struggling.
Yeah. Moving sucks so bad.
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm so glad I own this house.
Yeah.
If I ever move it again, it'll be by putting wheels on the damn thing.
Putting wheels back on it.
Yeah, putting wheels on this thing and hiring a truck to haul it.
That won't work when this is a single wide, right?
Yeah.
Well, you're planning on building an addition onto it though. You'll have to skill saw that addition off of it and
yeah, well,
it'll make it untow-worthy.
Well, there's a very good chance that if I ever move out of this house, that means I'll have just hit the Powerball or the Mega Millions.
Yeah, it collapses around you.
Yeah, and yeah, I'll give this house to like somebody on the street.
Yeah.
No, I won't.
Your in-laws are going to move into it. This will be their next place they live.
I'll move it down into the field. I'll let the in-laws have it.
Yeah.
We'll build a bigger house.
Yeah. So. I am moved in and
I'll hire people to move all my crap.
Fairly unpacked. All of the boxes of stuff that I don't need, which is terrible that I moved them, but it's stuff that I don't need right now.
Oh.
Stuff like tools and stuff that need to go into a tool shop that I don't have built yet.
Right.
Stuff like that. I just packed all that stuff up in the loft. There's still some building supplies up in the loft, like a pipe. A water hydrant, all of my gun cases are just thrown up in the loft because I have the gun case,
mm-hmm.
the display case. Next to that, I have this little bracket, like this little U sort of graspy bracket that I hung the banjo up on the wall next to the gun case. I've got all the pictures and stuff up. Meatwad's where I told you he'd be blocking the electric panel
behind
the TV.
Yeah. He's good at blocking stuff. Now, if anybody doesn't know what he's talking about, Meatwad is a character off the show called the Aqua Teen Hunger Force, and somebody that he used to know painted a Andy Warhol-type painting of Meatwad.
Yeah, Brian something was his name. I commissioned him to paint that, because he used to draw little Meatwads, and he had this little one he did, like a little painting that was like a little like 8x8 or 8x11 or 8.5x11 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, could you do that canvas size, like real big? He was like, yeah, you know, I got to buy some paint for it, and I have to buy a new canvas and put a little work. And I'm like, so, you know, what am I looking at here? He was like, $70? I'm like, yeah. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't realize Meatwad was that expensive.
Yeah, I mean, a one-of-a-kind Meatwad painting, $70?
It is a unique piece.
Yeah, I mean, just counting up, like, canvas and paint costs and stuff, it's really, I didn't pay much for labor in that thing.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Now, I tell you one debacle of moving. Make sure, one piece of advice I'll give for anybody. When moving bookcases that you bought at Walmart, make sure you stack them in such a way inside the truck that they don't fall apart during the move.
Yeah, we had one bookshelf separate and break apart. Later on, I got to thinking that it would have been better had we turned them sideways.
Yeah, I was thinking that too, like put them on this. Honestly, I think that thing survived all the way there until I got to the top of your driveway and hit that gigantic lump.
Oh, yeah?
Because I heard everything back there shift, and it probably survived right up until the last minute.
Yeah, I'd take the outside corner and go real slow, but...
I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, I know it's there. However, though, even though I was a little perturbed at first, it worked out to be better because I have big bookshelf here. And then that one broke off to make it sort of a half bookshelf.
Right.
Which leaves room above that.
Mm-hmm.
So I sandwiched that in so it's big bookshelf, like 6 foot tall, little 4 or 5 foot bookshelf or whatever.
Right.
And then big bookshelf. So in between them, I have books on top of it.
Oh.
And then above that is where I put in my mounting bracket for the hammock.
Oh, okay.
Which wouldn't have gone had it been a full-size one.
Oh, that makes sense then.
So it actually worked out.
Sometimes shit just works out perfect.
Yeah. So the living room is very cozy.
Mm-hmm.
a little cramped. So I have like a table in there that I can like eat dinner on or play games with friends and stuff.
Right.
The hammock works as my couch and bed right now.
Oh, okay. Because
if you sit in it long ways and like push the back up, so you're sort of sitting more, you know, 6 foot. So if you like scoot it around so that, and you know, put a pillow behind your back.
Mm-hmm.
It's Did you cut a fart?
No, I didn't. Your face? No, I thought you did.
No.
Is the dog in here? Is that Sarah?
Stupid dog.
Oh, good God. She's been eating roadkill again.
Oh, goodness. So, yeah, you know, it makes a good couch. I've even tested it. It works good for a two-person couch. You know, as long as two people are not that big.
Who else you had in your hammock with you, huh? Oh, God, it was Gabriel.
Well, of course. No. So, yeah, I've tested it with a lady friend, and it works fine if you're sitting sideways, and it's a double hammock, so technically you could sleep two people in it. But you're supposed to sit.
Did you test out that function? Giggity, giggity.
Out in your horse field, actually.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. It will fit two people sleeping in it.
That poor
quotation marks, sleeping in it. No, we did not try out the Kokanoo. I had so many requests if I had used it properly yet. No, gentle folks, it has not been used properly yet. I've only set it on fire. So yeah, that's it for moving. Moving is a bitch. I'm settled in. When I upload this audio file, I'll put some pictures up there so you guys can see a little bit around the house. Still do not have running water. Pain in the ass.
That's why you showered at my place.
That's why I showered here. I've stored water there, several gallons. There's a spring somewhere on the property that I could get water from, and there's a giant creek at the bottom and a river, and so I get water. I have to boil all that stuff. The creek, though, if I dig that out, I can just drink that straight.
Oh, really?
You know, spring water. It's good.
Well, you said the creek.
No, spring. The spring water.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can.
Gotcha.
If I dig that out, I can just drink the spring water.
But at least the moving is over, and that's always the best part.
This moving is over, yeah. Now it's just polish it off, finish it up a little bit. That running water this week is going to be, it's probably not going to happen. Especially with this Wednesday having a -1 degree temperature.
Oh my God, -1. Yeah. I'm not prepared for that.
No, no one is.
Not in Tennessee, they're not.
It's going to suck. I'm not going to leave the house. I'm going to be under blanket, probably.
I wish I could get away with not leaving my house.
Well, maybe I'll have an interview. I don't know.
I don't know. All right. Well, I think that'll about do it for our main topic. And let's move right into our gadget punk. For the first time ever, I'm going to be taking the reins on this. And I'm going to be giving a review to something, a Christmas present that I just received. Called the... It's a machete by the good folks over at Gerber. Now, unfortunately, I've not had the chance to test this out yet, but it looks like somebody else did before I had. It's a gently used model.
I'm surprised they replaced the plastic tip on it, though.
Yeah. No, the person I got this from, he wanted to make sure that tip stayed sharp, and I guess he wanted to make sure that didn't get damaged or whatever.
Which is weird, because, I mean, the it's got dirt on it, but he has the tip on it.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's good and sharp. Unlike a lot of machetes, this one actually has a saw blade on the back of it.
Yeah.
Which is good for cutting limbs up to about an inch in diameter. It's also got a very nice rubber grip handle on it that I like.
It's like the Gerber Gator handle, which I've seen a lot of survival people have this. We need to
take
it out and play with it.
Yeah, when the weather gets a little better, I'll take it out and give it a proper test and shoot some footage for our YouTube channel.
Yep.
But so far, I'm really liking it. Thinking about chroming it up, it'll look kind of like that thing that Jason was using in Jason X.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a badass.
It does look more like a short sword than a machete, to be honest.
It really does. I like the look of it. I like the grip of it. And unlike the other machete I have, I feel more comfortable with this handle. The handle feels a lot more more secure.
Yeah. I mean, the blade itself seems more stiff.
Oh, yeah, it is. I mean, this has hardly got any give to it whatsoever. I mean, it's got a little bit of elasticity to it. Yeah. You need that, though. You don't want it to be rock solid. Damn thing will shatter if you hit something too hard with it.
Yeah. Decent-looking sheath there.
Oh, plastic, yeah, very lining. Decent. It's very stiff, too, itself. It's a hard sheath.
Yes.
It's It's got the Velcro strap around there. So far I'm liking it. And like I said, once the weather gets better, I'll give it a proper testing. And
excellent.
Everybody out there will get to see it. So that has been our Gadget Punk segment for this week. And now it's time for another a word from our sponsors. The good people over at WellFoodCo.com.
WellFoodCo, for all your paleo snack and paleo food needs. From the Paleo MRE, the Carne Bars, created by Rob Wolf and John Well.
Mm-hmm.
Wellborn. John Wellborn.
John Wellborn.
John Wellborn, yeah.
He'll be so happy to hear that you forgot that last half of his name.
I'd hate that, dude. He's like 300 pounds of pure muscle ex-football player.
Oh, good God.
Yeah, I don't want him to get snazzy with me.
Yeah, don't come at us, bro.
Yeah,
Yeah, so right-hand side of survivalpunk.com, there's the banner, wellfoodco.com. Click there and start getting some good munchies going on.
Heck yeah.
All righty, and speaking of that, it's time for our Nutrition Punk segment this week. The health benefits of ginger.
Indeed. Let's see.
If he finds the article that we were going to read from.
I do not want to read this whole article. Let's sort of skip over this. Here are a couple of the health benefits of ginger bread from the ReadyNutrition.com website. Inflammation of the colon. A study conducted in the University of Michigan Medical School and published in the Journal of Cancer Prevention Research found that ginger root supplements administered to a volunteer participants reduce inflammation markers in the colon within a month. This is significant because inflammation of the colon is a precursor to colon cancer.
Ovarian cancer. A study showed that exposing ovarian cancer cells to a solution of ginger powder resulted in their death via apoptosis, cell suicide, and autophagy? What is it?
Autophagy.
Autophagy. The good cells job. Digested attacked themselves. In every single test, this study conducted at the University of Michigan Comprehensive Cancer Center also showed that the ginger solution prevented the cancer cells from building up resistance to treatment.
Asthma symptoms, Michael. Researchers at the Columbia University found that airway smooth muscle, ASM, tissue exposed to asthma medication combined with purified components of ginger exhibited greater relaxation than those treated with medication alone. So maybe drink some ginger tea or something. You'd hate it, but you know.
We'll give it a try at least. Liver damage caused by acetaminophen.
Mm.
Better known to most people as Tylenol.
Yeah.
A scientist in the National Research Center in Egypt found that ginger can prevent the liver damage caused by painkilling medication.
High blood pressure, hypertension. Researchers from the Chiang Mai University in Thailand found that ginger extract was way more effective than the medication prozoin hydrochloride in reducing high blood pressure.
Dysmenorrhea, painful menstruation.
Oh, wow.
A study of 70 female students found that ginger can help reduce the symptoms of menstrual pain.
Migraines. A study performed by Vali E. Asser Hospital in Iran and published in the Journal of Phytotherapy Research found that ginger powder is as effective in treating common migraine symptoms as sumatriptan. Sumatriptan is a common medication for migraine treatment. Imitex, Trextamix, Imigran.
And muscle pain caused by exercise. A University of Georgia study that was published in the Journal of Pain followed 74 volunteers found that daily ginger supplementation reduced exercise-induced muscle pain by 25%.
Is it just me, or does that sound like an S&M magazine, the Journal of Pain?
The Journal of Pain, yeah, it really does. Yeah.
Research into the health benefits of ginger is ongoing, and so far the findings are promising. The Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center's Integrative Medicine website says the following about the plant.
You can just call it Shield.
Yeah. In vitro and animal studies suggest that ginger has antiemetic, anti-cancer, anti-inflammatory, anti-drug dependence, hypoglycemic effects. It may also protect against Alzheimer's disease.
Ginger influences gastric emptying in healthy individuals and may promote feelings of satiety. Systematic reviews of ginger suggest that modern efficacy for treating osteoarthritic and chronic low back pain.
A small pilot study suggests that ginger supplementation may have chemopreventative effects for those at increased risk for colon cancer with normal-appearing colonic mucosa. More and larger studies are needed to confirm any true benefit with ginger supplementation for symptom control or chemoprevention.
The site lists these possible uses for ginger: diarrhea, drug withdrawal symptoms, indigestion, motion sickness, nausea and vomiting, respiratory ailments, rheumatoid arthritis, spasms, stomach and intestinal pain. We're done reading.
Wow. So,
I had no idea ginger was that much of, like, nature's wonder drug.
I knew it was one of the biggies, but after this, I definitely want to... I mean, I do some ginger supplementation, but, you know, it's like the ginger tea and stuff when I have upset stomach sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to cook with ginger a lot. But
it's a damn fine cookie.
Fresh ginger. Oh, ginger cookies.
Mm-hmm.
I made some paleo ginger cookies last year.
I made a gingerbread train recently.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, I put it together.
You slacker.
It happens. They were selling the kits at Wally World.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't like those things because you can't eat them.
Yeah, you can.
Really? I thought that you just threw them away.
No, we ate it.
Oh.
We made it. We took pictures. We ate it. Well, we ate most of it.
Oh, there you go.
I think the cat got some of it.
Yeah, so if you have any of those symptoms, look into supplementing with some ginger.
Alrighty. And now it is time for our permaculture minute, brought to you by Paul Wheaton and his permaculture playing cards. Today we're going to be doing the Four of Hearts, which is Livestock Guardian Dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the picture actually on the card is that looks like, let's see, the big one is a, it's a white dog. I used to own one of these. Why can I not remember the name of it? Great Pyrenees, that's
it. Oh, I was going to say, was it Great Pyrenees?
Yeah, and a rat terrier right next to it.
Yeah.
Four of Hearts. People with good fences have lost chickens, sheep, and goats until they added livestock guardian dogs to their land. A rat terrier will chase deer and kill small rodents voraciously.
Interesting.
A Great Pyrenees has been known to risk its own life to save a chicken. Those dogs protect your farm and eat varmints, cutting down on the dog food bill. Now, I used to own a Great Pyrenees once upon a time, and one time, we have coyotes out here. We also had a smaller dog, a Chihuahua at the time. Well, a coyote got in the yard and got after that Chihuahua.
Oh, wow.
That Great Pyrenees literally ripped that coyote in half. I'm not talking about just tore it. I mean ripped it in half. That was a hell of a mess we had to clean up. Oh, God. No. Great dogs. But that's been our permaculture minute. And now it is time to move on to our wild edible of the week. Does ginger count as a wild edible? Let me see.
I think there is a wild ginger.
Let me see. I mean, just going to continue on with this. I mean... you know what? I don't know why, but I like the name of this one. Milkweed.
Oh, milkweed.
Milkweed is a delicious early summer vegetable, and it's vastly overlooked in the civilized world. Its Latin name is the same as the Roman god of medicine. I can't pronounce that. May suggest its origin to Siri. It's sometimes called butterfly weed or butterfly milkweed, and I've heard folks call it a pleurisy root. Its folk names come from the milky, sticky sap that the stem yields when cut or picked. Milkweed is likely to inhabit any pastures and fields, waste places, and roadside ditches. It grows in the full sun and is often found in enormous patches. Sometimes whole fields are full of it. This 3-foot North American native plant grows in a hardy stalk. The leaves are dark, glossy green, slightly wavy, with a white mid-vein. They are lance-shaped and 4 to 6 inches long. Milkweed flowers grow in rounded umbels and are most often whitish purple with a greenish tinge. You can identify a patch of milkweed when its sweet purple blooms make it stand out in early summer and return each year. If you can find them, the youngest shoots in spring grow 6 to 7 inches high and can be used like asparagus, blanched first for a minute and then wrapped in rapidly boiling water. The buds in late spring are delicious before they open, and they look rather like small broccoli heads. And I think they're at least as tasty as broccoli. The buds that blossom in summer are purple and fragrant, attracting butterflies, and they, too, are a fine vegetable. Milkweed traditionally was used to treat infections or respiratory systems like pleurisy, both in North America and in Europe. Milkweed seed, when it has burst, is light and fulsome like goose down or cotton, and it was once used in the Appalachia as a stuffing in vests and quilts. Milkweed seed was used in World War II as a substitute for real Indonesian kapok in life jackets before man-made fillers were invented. And that has been our wild edible of the week. Milkweed.
So on the Survival Punk Facebook fan page where my buddy Grizz called out my birthday. Actually, the list is getting pretty long. So thanks to everyone that's wishing me a happy birthday. My favorite picture response so far was, "You remind me of my Chinese friend. Ugly."
Oh my God. That is so horribly racist.
Yeah, there's that one. Thank you.
Those are redheads and thongs.
Yes, yes. The call out was, "I do like redheads, so if you have a redhead picture, please share it."
Look at those. Yeah.
I hope they start sending you pictures of Carrot Top.
Actually, look at this girl.
Carrot Top. Oh, Carrot Top with the guns.
I don't like the fact that you're showing pictures of women to my wife and she's shaking her head yes.
That was the nerdy girl.
Yeah, whatever.
Your wife likes nerdy chicks.
Yeah, my wife is a lesbian.
Shut up. For real.
I'm her saving grace.
Oh, she's blushing so hard.
Yeah, she is, and I love
it. That's all right, because I was looking...
Oh, for the love of God!
I was trying to find a picture to send to James.
She's trying to find pictures to put on my...
Yeah, my wife's looking at pictures of redheads and lingerie. Yeah, I'm about to just walk out on this whole institution.
All right. And on that bombshell...
Now it is time for a word about the good people over in Thailand who make an exotic Asian coffee called Mai Tai.
Yes. They do good charity work. And I hope you did get your charity donations in. You know, at the end of the year, it's a good time to make charity donations. And, you know, I like to pick a donation every year. someone to donate to.
Mm-hmm.
It was not the Mai Tai people, but I will be making some more coffee purchases this year as soon as I get a job. Mm-hmm. I've had to drink some coffee swill lately. And after drinking Mai Tai coffee, you can tell the difference.
It's kind of hard to go back.
It is kind of hard to go back. And, First paycheck at my new job will be to buy Mai Tai coffee to get stocked up on for the new year.
And where will you go to buy that on Mai Tai coffee?
I'm going to email Matt at Mai Tai coffee and put my order. But for you guys, please go to survivalpunk.com, click on the banner in the right-hand margin, and go to Mai Tai coffee,
right,
where proceeds go to help out the orphans in Thailand, actually. And the company... is fair trade. So the people that harvest the coffee beans over there actually making a living wage. So, and not slave labor wage like you'll get from probably the soil that I'm drinking.
Yep, exactly. Now, while you're over on that banner on the right-hand side where you found the good people over at JM Bullion, Camping Survival, World Food Co., and Mai Tai Exotic Asia Coffee,
you also see
FreedomMunitions.com,
the largest American-made direct-to-consumer manufacturer of ammunition in the United States.
And that's saying something.
Yeah, a huge, huge facility. Great, great remanufactured ammunition. So, once fired brass, they do reloading, so it's just good, you know, especially for target practice.
Mm-hmm.
Before I took them on as a sponsor, I did a lot of research on them. And there was like one complaint out of a billion, "I love these guys." So... And I believe I read that guy was taken care of, so...
Oh, that's good.
Mistakes happen, you know.
So they're guys... So
especially
this is a company
especially with blowing up things.
And so this is a company that stands by their product.
Exactly. Which is why I like working with them.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, now you get really good deals on ammunition over there. Or Glentadium, as it's called somewhere on the internet. So, yeah. Right-hand side of survivalpunk.com, find that banner and start saving up for the currency of the new world.
Oh, quick shout-out, actually. Glenn Tate's 299 Days are... Excuse me. They're now in audiobook form, so you can get them from audible.com. And if you go to audible.com and sign up for an account, they'll give you a free download. There you go. Download 299 Days book and give it a listen.
Do you know who's reading it? Is he reading it?
I don't know who's reading it, but if you head over to audible.com, audible.com, you can check it out.
Oh, I hope it's Neil Gaiman.
If I ever write a book, Neil Gaiman will be the, or I'll find a Neil Gaiman impersonator.
I'll do it in my
Can you give Neil me a Neil Gaiman? Give me a Neil Gaiman.
Let's see.
That's part of your new. Let's put our. Oh, everybody.
Oh boy.
Me and Castro Mike have a New Year's resolution bet.
Yes, we do. We both have unrealized dreams. We both have very good talents that everybody's always told us that we should make money with.
That we don't, and it's in different paths from what we're doing. Actually, this is similar to Mike's chosen path, more so than it is mine.
Right. You see, my co-host here, the Survival Punk himself, is one hell of an artist. I have always liked his artwork. He could make comic books if he wanted to. And that talent of his is just going unrealized. Meanwhile, my talent, I can manipulate my vocal cords in such ways that I do great impressions. I can do many, many voices. I'm just really good with that. I've always wanted to be a voice actor, but I've never really taken the steps toward it. So basically, in lieu of New Year's resolutions, we basically made New Year's bets that go on from the 1st of January to the 1st of April.
Yes.
We have to try to make money with our talents. Whoever makes the most money with their talent wins the bet. And what do they win? They win the accolades of the other. But the loser... See, that's the problem. See, it's a penalty. There's a reason I'm known as Couch Potato Mike. I love sitting on a couch or laying on my bed and being completely entertained by electronic media. And if I lose this bet, I have to spend 1 month, that's 30 days, sans electronic media. No television, no internet, no games on my phone, no any of that. If I'm in a room with a television, I have to leave that room.
Yes.
Meanwhile...
No watching videos on the internet, no doing any of that.
Yeah. Meanwhile, if I manage to make more money than Survival Punk over here, for 1 month, that's 30 days, he now has to be known as Jim.
Which I hate, by the way.
He despises the name Jim.
Jim, Jimmy, Jimbo, hate with a passion. If you've ever met me and called me Jim, you've noticed that I've promptly stopped and corrected you. No.
With a glare that could kill a full-grown yak.
My name is James.
Right. But if you lose that bet for 1 month, your name will be Jim. You will have to call yourself Jim. When you introduce yourself to new people, you will be like, "Hi, I'm Jim." If somebody calls you James, you have to be like, "Just call me Jim." I wish you folks out there could have seen the wince on his face just then when I just said that last piece.
Ugh.
And yes, I will be calling you Jim that whole month.
Yeah.
So... And, I mean, we did a gentleman's handshake. We spit in our palms and shook hands on it. It's that just one inch shy of taking a blood oath on this.
Yeah. Yeah. Slit the wrist and do the cross handshake.
But I ain't going to do that because I don't want any of his left-handed fucking germs getting into me.
So, if you need any doodlings, because I'm a master doodler, and master dabbler in the doodling industry, send me an email, and I'll doodle something for you for pence. Pence on the dollar.
And if you need a good voice that can be very dramatic to advertise whatever it is you're selling, just contact me, acehole37@gmail.com. Or CouchPotatoMike@CouchPotatoMike.com. I can do dramatic. I can do Family Guy. I can do it all, I tells ya.
Oh, my God. and there's a new drinking game. If we ever say the words, "use guys," Jeff Radke, you have to take a shot. Use guys.
Jeff Radke has to take a shot if we say "use guys"?
Use guys.
Use guys.
he's drunk right now.
Where did this whole "use guys" drinking game come from?
Jeff shared something from the Lost Skills podcast. Shared this thing on Facebook with me of like 10 words you only say in like Wisconsin. Words and phrases, and that was one of them. Like,
I've heard "use guys" in New Jersey though.
Yeah, "use guys," "you guys." It's my favorite one. There's another one that's like,
"don't you know?"
One time. Yeah. It was like, "come here one time." Why is it one time? No, well, yeah. come here once.
Well, yeah.
Once? Yeah.
Come here once. Yeah.
I'm like, what? Mm. But that's it for me, use guys.
Yeah, that's all about it, use guys. Now, if you guys have anything out there that you want to sell on our fine podcast, just contact James at survivalpunk.com. Yes, unfortunately, he won't be changing his email address for this. Jim at survivalpunk.com.
Yes, it will not be.
I might make you get a new email just for that month if you lose. Yeah, but yeah. Anyway.
I'll create an email address at jim@survivalpunk.com that forwards to james@survivalpunk.com.
Well, yes, but james@survivalpunk.com, if you want to sell your fine wares, survival-related, punk-related, fitness-related, anything like that related on our show, and he has great deals he can work out with you.
If you're a bacon manufacturer and send me bacon, I could really use some.
Absolutely. Oh, God, yeah. Now it's time for my celebrity invite of the week, and we've actually had this guy on the show before, and I know you guys out there love him. You love him to death. I didn't write it down there, but I want Jeff Radke back on the show after little talk. I had somebody else in mind, but I'll save them for next week. Jeff Radke, all of us guys and yous guys out there want you to come back on. You have got an open-ended, open-door invite onto the Survival Punk podcast, and you've also got an open-ended, open-door invite onto one of my podcasts, because I've got like three now.
Oh, yeah.
That I need to put episodes up for. I just keep churning out ideas. There's, you know, Couch Potato Mike Explains It All, A Side Order of Couch Potato, and Dicking Around the House with Couch Potato Mike and Producer Mike's Wife.
Oh, my God. My friend,
Yous guys will love it.
Michael W. Dean had a podcast back in the day where he and his wife had sex on the podcast.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, and it was they did that for a while, and
a podcast where they had sex.
Yep, and they had fans.
And where can one find this podcast?
I don't know if you can find him. I don't know if it's archived or not. He's probably the most famous person that I know, probably personally. With I showed you that time that one of his old 1980s band posters was in the back scene of Demolition Man.
Was it Demolition? Oh, yeah, that's right. Demolition Man. Yeah,
which is weird, because when I rediscovered him on the internet, I was like, Michael W. Dean, why does that name sound familiar? I've heard that name before. And I'm like, I think I have a book by him. It was the book that I used, $30 Film School, that I used.
Oh, yeah, when we were trying to shoot our movie.
It was our Bible that we carried around with us.
Oh, my God, that's right. That's right. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
All righty, well, the show's coming to an end, but before we do, we talked about this a little bit earlier. But there's an army out there. That army is recruiting. It's the Survival Punk Army, and it wants you. It wants you bad.
It does want you bad.
What will you? What
you
will
get you 11 discounts to vendors on the internet. Great stuff from
10% to 20%
from survival gear to paleo food and whatnot. You get good discounts. You get ebooks from two great people, exclusive content, downloads of the podcast episodes and easy zip files for you to download.
10 episode zip files. And so, the number of those zip files is getting on up there.
Yes. I may have to. At one point, I thought about doing them in increments of 20, but we're doing only one a week. I think 10 episodes is good for us.
Yeah, 10 episodes is great. So just find one of the 1,000 links on survivalpunk.com for the Survival Punk Army. Click on it. Join up, because the Survival Punk Army wants you. That's another voice I can do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Survival Punk Army voice.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it has been a great episode.
It was. An hour. I mean, if we wrap this up in 2 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, well, we took a week off, but we're back and we're here to stay.
Technically, Survival Punk's been closed down for a month.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, for the move and everything?
For the move, yeah, and the holidays.
Oh, well, this will be going up this Wednesday, right?
Yes, we'll be back.
All right, well, it's the relaunch of the survivalpunk.com, Survival Punk Podcast. It has been great.
It's good to be back.
And until we talk to you next week, this is Couch Potato Mike.
This is James, and not Jim.
Yeah, not Jim yet. And just remember, if you've got a talent, use it. Follow your dreams. Make the most out of it. Or you might end up without television for a month calling yourself Jumbo.
DIY to survive. Use guys.
Use guys.